Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that you're their comforter in this time of need. And Father, we ask that you'll let the peace of God that surpasses all understanding flow through their hearts and minds, causing them to be comforted in every way. Father, that they'll have peace in you, that they'll look to you as the one that receives and not takes. So, Father, we just ask that you hold them up in peace and comfort and love. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Open your Bibles up to Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. Yeah. I've noticed there's three kinds of faith floating around in the church world. But Daniel 11, verse 32, the second part of that verse says, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. See, there's a lot of people that know about God, but they don't know Him. The people that do know God, they actually go out there and do stuff in the kingdom. They do stuff that other people think is just crazy. They think it's too far-fetched to even attempt, but they go do it. You know, and there's a lot of misconceptions about faith. People want to say they're operating in faith, but they'll start a project, but if they don't, you know, if the project is $20,000, if they don't see $20,000 in their bank account, they're not going to start it. That's not faith. That's living on your own abilities. You know, what we're talking about is faith, where you need to meet a demand, not out of your own pocket, not out of your own ability, but you're actually going to pull it from heaven. You have to do that with the words of your mouth. You have to believe God for it. And you have to get your tongue in line with the Word of God. But you can actually do that. And Wayne Myers, he has lived this life of financial faith for so long, and it's just amazing what he's done. But he writes these books, but what he'll do is, and he started over 7,500 churches around the world, but what he'll do, he'll go to a community and hold a meeting and tell them that if they would build the walls for their church, he'd build the roof. And this is the guy that runs around with empty pockets because he gives it away so fast that he doesn't have a chance to. I mean, there's no moldy money around him. It's gone as fast as he gets it. But he always manages to get the roof built. He's got to do that by faith. But these exploits we're talking about are deeds that are marked by daring and excellence. See, it doesn't take any faith at all to operate in a financial challenge. If you need $50,000 and you already got $50,000, that's how daring is that? But to be daring is to have $10,000 in the account and go dig a hole for a $100,000 project and believe God for it and have it. That's daring. And that's excellence in faith. Because God will meet that need. He just needs somebody to believe Him for it. And there's all kinds of terrible, terrible excuses for dodging this. People will say, well, God doesn't owe you anything. Well, I know God doesn't owe me anything, but He's already given me everything. But we have to receive it by faith. You see, it's not going to happen any other way. You have to receive it by faith. You have to believe it before you receive it. I know God doesn't owe you anything, but He's given you everything, and he expects you to receive it. We got to make sure that we don't look for ways to get out of operating in faith. There's a lot of ways to get out of operating by faith. One of them is when people will pray, they'll pray, "If it be your will, Father." They just gave themselves an open door to blame God for their lack of faith. That's a horrible, horrible thing to do. They prayed the prayer of consecration. Jesus prayed the prayer of consecration, but Jesus was the only one that had any business praying that prayer. He was getting ready to do something nobody else had ever done. And he said, "If it be thy will, Father." And then he went on with what he had to do. But he was the only one that had any business praying that prayer. We have no business praying that prayer. Because this is his will. He wrote it down for us. He told us exactly what his will is. If we're confused about what his will is, then we need to go read the Bible some more and find out for sure what his will is, and then go pray his word back to him using his will and expect to see an answer. Amen? Now, there's three kinds of people in this church world that we run into concerning the word of faith. We have the museum keepers. You see, these people, they're content with dusting the memories of the past. You know, they like hanging on to the old, and they're not real interested in stepping forward. They're going to hang on to what happened. You know, it might have been grandma that did it, but they're going to hang on to that and keep remembering that and not go forward. And then we have these settlers. They're content to stay in their own comfort zone. See, people are creatures of habit. And people get comfortable where they're at. And they don't really necessarily like getting out of their comfort zone. You know, and people are so creatures of habit. I see them, they do the same thing every day. Almost every time. You know, people will take the same trail to church. They'll take the same trail to the store. They'll park at the same spot at the post office. You know, they sit in the same spot at church. They get these habits, and they don't like to mix it up. They get comfortable where they're at. You know, and sometimes I've seen people in very, very bad situations. I've seen women in abusive situations where we get them out of those abusive situations, get them to a safe spot, and they would be back in that situation almost before you got a cup of coffee poured. And I always kind of wondered why, and I talked to one woman that had finally escaped that situation, and she said the hardest thing for her was she didn't know what to expect when she got out of that situation, and she was uncomfortable. See, even in a dangerous situation, she was comfortable because she knew the rules. She knew what to expect. She knew what was around the corner. She knew what was where everything was. She knew how everything worked. See how dangerous people get? They get into these comfort zones. And even though it's a terrible situation, they're comfortable. See, sometimes you need to shake things up a little bit. Go do something that you don't do normally. Go somewhere you don't normally go. Do something you don't normally do. But sometimes, shake up your comfort zone, and this is going to sharpen your senses towards the Holy Spirit. You know, people get dull. You know, they do the same thing day in, day out, the same way every day, the same way every time. And they become kind of sleepers. You know, in the racehorse world, they have that too. These horses do the same thing every day. And then pretty soon they figure out how to cheat the system, and they just do just enough to not hurt themselves, not overexert themselves. But if you shake them out of their routine, pretty soon they come back sharp, and then they go back out and they run like crazy. See, people need to sharpen their senses too. And the only way to do that is to do something that's uncomfortable. That means we're going to expand our comfort zone. And then we have these pioneers. These guys are constantly pressing into new territories. These are people that are constantly looking for some reason to use their faith. They're constantly looking for some way to believe God. They're constantly looking for a challenge. You know, they live on the edge, and it drives a lot of religious people crazy because they want to go. And these are like a small percentage of the church. They're always wanting to go. And the rest of the church is trying to hold them back. And they're trying to get the rest of the church to go. You know, but see, we got these mixtures. When I didn't really know exactly what I was dealing with at first, but I had all these drivers, all these people working for me, and I was kind of confused about them. I called my uncle. He was a general. And he said, well, you got the 70-20-10 rule. I said, huh? He said, yeah, 70% of your people won't be in the same little circle. And they don't want to be budged out of that circle at all. They want to do the same thing, 8 to 5. Don't break that routine. Just put them in the circles and let them do that thing. Then you got these 20 that are curious, these 20% that are curious, that want to step out of that comfort zone a little bit, but they're not quite confident enough to go much further, and you really got to watch them. You got to help them and challenge them a little bit so they can grow. You can develop into something else. But you got to let them go back into that circle for a little while to feel safe. And then you got these 10%. You can't let them touch that circle ever because you'll drive them crazy. They'll be bored and they'll quit. These are the 10% that are out there. You got to stay ahead of them. Because these guys are wanting to go all the time. They're wanting to grow. They're wanting to do things by faith. And we have these in the church. These people are always wanting to go out there and witness. They're always wanting to go out there and pray for somebody. They're always wanting to go do something. They're wanting to help somebody. They're wanting to do something in the kingdom. Which is exciting because you don't have a lot of those in churches. It's just a handful. You know, there was out of a church of 300, you might have 10, maybe 20, maybe. But people naturally want to get parked in a little comfort zone, and they don't want to break that. We don't want to get in that comfort zone. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 7. Says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's one of the first things we need to understand. Whenever we go to break our comfort zone, there's a natural See, there is a spirit of fear. And you should expect that spirit of fear to show up when you go to do something new. You go to do something that maybe is out of your comfort zone. You should expect that spirit of fear. But know this, it's not yours. It's not yours. And it didn't come from God. It came from the devil. See, faith has an opposite, and that's fear. So when we step out in faith, we should expect some resistance. Here's where a lot of people say, you know, I got out there and it wasn't God. No, it was God. He told you to go out there and do this. But you hit that resistance and you thought everything was going to be smooth sailing because God told you to go do it. When God tells you to go do something, don't think it's going to be smooth sailing all the time. You know, there's an Antichrist out there. And don't think he's going to just sit there in an easy chair and let you just tiptoe through the tulips on God's mission for your life without him getting in out there and trying to mess it up. Go to Psalms chapter 18, verse 28. Psalm chapter 18, verse 28 says, "For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall." See, one thing we got to make sure is that this light that we have is from God. We got to make sure that we heard from God before we jump out there and start trying to do something. But once you're convinced you heard from God and he is your light, and the light you have is from him, you get out there and you go do it. But expectations. Everybody seems to have expectations. And one thing I've noticed is God will start a project for us, send us on some kind of a project. And our picture, the way we think things need to work out, are rarely ever in line with what God has pictured. You know, God will tell us to go do something, and we'll have this picture, man, this is going to be a blast, it's going to be fun, we're going to go through here, we're going to just do this, we're going to do that, we're going to go over there, and it's going to be a good time. And we get out there, and it's, sometimes there's some rough spots. Sometimes there's some real challenges. I've seen people quit and go back home and say, well, it just wasn't God. No, it was God. But the reality didn't match the picture that you had painted in your mind. See, we really don't know the beginning from the end, like God does. All we got to know is that he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. And if he sends us somewhere, he's already equipped us to deal with it. But we're going to have to really trust in the Holy Spirit and rely on him. See, this really grinds some people sideways. They want all the answers. They want to draw a blueprint of every project out, and this is the way it's going to be. In the human world, in the natural world, we can get away with that. But when we're dealing with God in the spirit world, it seldomly works out the way we think it needs to work out. You know, we don't know what's around that corner. But God tells us to go there anyway. And then he'll get us to the next place. And then he'll get us to the next place. And we don't seldomly know what that next place is. But did you know we didn't really have to know everything? God knows everything. And probably a lot of times, if we knew the beginning from the end, we wouldn't go on a lot of these adventures that he sends us on. He'd say, no, I'm not gonna deal with that challenge. I don't want to do that. You know, sometimes it's not really comfortable when we get out there, what a lot of Christians might call no man's land, where the only one that you can really rely on is God, and he's the only one that can get it done. But that's where God wants us to be. He wants us out there where, you know, we don't have any family we can fall back on. We don't have any connections we can fall back on. We don't have any talent we can fall back on. We don't have anything that we can fall back on. We just have to rely on him. And then guess what happens? He does more than you could even imagine. You couldn't even dream some of this stuff up. Only he can come up with that. Let God light your candle, though, before you jump the wall. There's a lot of people, they want to go out there and do something, and they'll get out there, and they'll get wiped out. God didn't tell them to go. See, if God tells you to go somewhere, go. If God doesn't tell you to go somewhere, don't go somewhere. If he tells you to sit, sit. You know, Jesus told his disciples, you stay right here in Jerusalem. You stay right here in Jerusalem until you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can go into all the world. So they stayed right there in Jerusalem. They received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they kept staying right there in Jerusalem. It took the Roman Empire to scatter them. You know, they started hanging them and persecuting them. Then they sure enough got out into all the world. Amen. They scattered. See, God, he has ways of getting people to scatter. They might not be as comfortable as we want them to be, but if we'll just go, 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 like he tells us, when he tells us, we won't get scattered. Some people will never move out into the unknown. See, the unknown stops many people from God's greater blessings. This is one of the most heartbreaking things ever. The most fun adventure you'll ever be on in your life is the walk of faith out there doing something you don't know the beginning from the end. You don't know how anything's going to work. You don't know how anything's going to come in place. You don't know where anything's going to come from. All you can do is look to God. That's the most exciting place you'll ever be, and few people ever get there. Because they got to have all the answers before they step out. And that's just not the way God deals with us. He doesn't tell us everything all at once. So a lot of people, they sit in church every Sunday, and they miss out on the biggest adventures of life because they won't step out of their comfort zone. The what ifs tear them up. You know, what if we run out of money? What if we don't get this? What if we don't get that? What if this doesn't work? What if that doesn't work? You know, what if, what if, what if? Here's the only what if you need to ask yourself. What if everything works out the way God designed it? Wouldn't that be fun? What if everything works out? See, we still have to control our tongue with every other word we speak. And we need to quit questioning God. He's the one that's going to meet the need. When he tells us to step out and do something, we have no business saying, what if? The only what if we have any business saying is, man, what if this works? Wouldn't that be something? It's an exciting life. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. God told Abraham, said, get up out of the land of Ur, leave your family behind. Well, he almost obeyed God all the way. He brought Lot. He brought his nephew with him. But he left everybody else back. He left everything familiar. And here's the thing. We like to talk about David and Goliath, like Goliath was the only giant in the land. You know, where Abraham went, that was filled with giants. There were giants out there. That's where Abraham was. And he believed God. You know, that had to be a little bit uncomfortable. You know, Abram at that time, he had to know that there were giants over there. It wasn't like he was going from one continent to the next. It was more like going from one county to the next. You can't tell me he didn't know there were giants over there. And here's God saying, you leave everything that's familiar to you. You leave everybody that you know, all your friends, all your family, everything that's comfortable to you, and you go over here and you live in this land of giants. Can't you hear the conversation? When he's telling his family he's leaving. Now, don't you know there are giants over there? What if the giants get you? What if you run out of food? What if you run out of money? What if you run out of this? All the what ifs. He had to face all the what ifs. But he did the one thing that he was supposed to do. He believed God and he just went ahead and went. Amen? And he didn't do that exactly perfect because he brought Lot with him. But see, God can take care of us even when we make mistakes. You don't have to be perfect. But he does want you to move when he tells you to move. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So right there, he told us right there, don't lean unto your own understanding. What you know, or what you think you know, is not what we're supposed to lean unto. You know, when you have a God project, we're supposed to acknowledge him in all our ways and let him lead us, let him guide us. But what we know in the whole scheme of things isn't very much. If you're honest, even if you got a PhD, you still don't really know all that much in the whole scheme of things when it comes to God. Amen? We'll let him guide us through these things. we trust in the Lord. We're going to be able to go out there and face all the uncertainties. You know, there's still giants out there for us. They may not be physical giants, but they may be financial giants. For some people, witnessing to other people is a giant. But when we trust in the Lord, we'll know everything's going to be all right. You know, we just got to be able to get moving. We got to be available and get moving. Everybody wants to be used, but they don't want to make mistakes. You know, when I was breaking horses, every once in a while I'd run into a horse that just would not move out. It wouldn't move out. And there was nothing I could do for that horse. He wouldn't move at all. I can't teach a horse that won't move out. But if I had a horse that, even if he is bucking, if he's moving forward, you can deal with everything. If running off, bucking, whatever, you can deal with that. And then you can teach them something. People are the same way. But the only thing is, people want to freeze up and not move out, because they're afraid to make a mistake. You know, you're not going to make such a big mistake that God can't fix it. But at least if you're moving, if you're going and doing something, if you're moving and doing something, God can teach you. He can do something with that. You might be moving in the wrong direction, but at least you're going. He can get you steered back over here. You know, we've all moved in the wrong direction at some point in time, but at least we're moving. We're going forward. We're doing something. God can, like my pastor used to tell me, he said, God can hit a bullseye with a crooked stick. He just needs somebody to pull the trigger. He just needs somebody to go out there and do something. You know, and then we'll learn through practice how to be led by the Holy Spirit. We'll learn how to be used by the Holy Spirit. We'll learn how to be guided by God. Let Him be a light under our feet. Let His Word be a light under our feet. We'll actually learn when we should say something to somebody and when we need to just be quiet. You know, there is times we need to be just quiet sometimes. But there's never a time when we're supposed to be inactive in the kingdom of God. But we find these comfort zones and we lock down and we don't want to step out of those. But we need to. We need to be able to break those barriers and go forward. Well, thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything that you do for us. Father, we ask you, in the name of Jesus, to break our comfort zones. Show us places we can go, things we can do that will stretch our faith. That's how we really grow in you, when we stretch our faith, when you stretch our faith. Father, we ask for this in the name of Jesus. Amen.